iHeart Radio station.
The thoughts and opinions expressed are those of the sponsors and don't necessarily reflect those of this station or iHeart Media.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. Join us now to learn ways to begin the path to recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Hey, Joel Malkin here. Welcome to the Family Center for Recovery show. And I am here with James Santamarina, the admissions director at the Family Center for Recovery. James, for some reason, I want your name to be Santa Maria. I see that N in there, and I want to put an X through it. What is it about that?
Many people say that. However, it is Santamarina with an N.
First, let's get started real quick and tell us where the Family Center for Recovery is.
So the Family Center for Recovery is located in Lantana, Florida.
And that was on Hypoluxo Road, right?
Yes, Hypoluxo and Seacrest, right at the corner.
All right. That's what's that near? Is that near 95?
It is. You can see it from 95. Correct.
Okay, great. Yes. I just want people to know. I know you're fairly new to News Radio 1290 WJNO. We do appreciate you coming on board and great things that you guys are doing. You know, we talk so much in the news about the opioid situation here, and it is now an emergency, an official emergency declaration.
It's an epidemic.
I don't know if you heard about it this week, emergency declaration from or last week from the governor. $27 million from the feds to fight it here and elsewhere. But from all the folks, you know, we do a feature, and we're going to get into your story and then the story about this. But from all the folks that I talk to, I do a feature called Protecting the Palm Beaches. So we talk to the different police chiefs and the sheriff, and it just seems like this opioid epidemic is hitting every single municipality in Palm Beach County, and it is so scary. We had the pill mills years ago. We pushed them out, and it looks like what's happened is the folks that can no longer get the pills from the pill mills are doing the heroin and all of that stuff. Yep. I know that's not just what you treat, but I'm sure you're getting a lot of that.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. You know, we see a lot of stories where patients are first introduced to painkillers when they break a leg or they're playing a sport and they hurt themselves. And you have these doctors prescribing opioids without really following up and seeing if they have any addictive personality or if they're abusing their medication. And it's really sad because once they can't get those painkillers anymore, they turn to heroin. And it's cheaper. It's on the street. And unfortunately, that's what's gripping America today.
I heard about a dentist that gave, I don't know, it was in the news, on the news or something recently, somebody that had a tooth pulled. Anybody that's had a tooth pulled, I've had a couple. It's painful, and it can be painful, and they'll prescribe you a painkiller for that. And somebody said they were prescribed like, I don't know if it was 30 or 60 Percocets or whatever it was, whatever that specific drug was, for that tooth being pulled. And it's like, if I remember correctly, it was about maybe 2 days, three tops of pain. Even if it's a week of pain, you don't need 30 or 60 pills.
Absolutely.
So obviously that would be a regulation thing, and that's obviously not something you guys can deal with on that side. All you can do is treat the folks affected. So welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Joel.
Again, this is the Family Center for Recovery show. James Santamarina is joining us. I'm going to get used to that. The admissions director at the Family Center for Recovery, officially in Lantana, near Hypoluxo and 95. So let me ask you, how long have you been there?
So I've worked for the Family Center for Recovery for about 2 years. So it'll be 2 years on June 1st. I actually met Dr. Robert Moran for the first time when I came to treatment.
Now let's back up for those who don't know who that is. Dr. Robert Moran is the medical director and CEO of the Family Center for Recovery.
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead.
I'm also the director of family services at the Family Center for Recovery. So I met Dr. Moran when I came down here to Florida. I'm originally from New York.
Mm. Who isn't? I'm from New York.
New York, New Jersey, Connecticut.
Carol's producing us. I think she's from New York too. Yeah. Okay. Somewhere around there.
And, you know, I've been to several treatment centers up in New York, some state facilities, some private. However, none of them were actually owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist. My family nor myself ever...
Back up for a second. So say that again.
Family Center for Recovery is actually run by an addiction psychiatrist.
And that's a rare thing?
That is a rare thing. Out of over 1,500 facilities in Florida, from IOP to OPs to inpatient treatment facilities, we are the only one that's owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist.
I can't be the only one that would be that surprised to hear that, right?
It is shocking.
When you talk to people on the phone and you're telling them about your services and your facility, are people shocked by that?
People are.
That's not the case everywhere, or at least most places?
They really are. However, they realize that their loved ones have also been to many facilities, and they believe me because they haven't been treated by a psychiatrist, especially a psychiatrist that understands addiction. It's a really sad phenomenon that we see in Florida, that it seems to be big business down here. And that's something that we really pride ourselves on, that we have the proper care that is your loved one being treated by an addiction psychiatrist who truly understands the psychiatric deficits that happen in somebody that is addicted.
Wow. So you, how long did you say you've been there again? I'm sorry.
So I've been working there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But I came down about 3 years ago. And I was either going to be homeless or I was going to go to treatment. That was the two options that I had for my family.
So your family said, you know, you can't be here anymore if you don't treat this problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, obviously, I, you know, kicked and screamed and didn't want to believe it. You know, I blamed them. But the fact is that I was doing this for many, many years. And I really needed somebody that was going to take the time on a daily basis to meet with me and who understood my addiction. So I'm very blessed to have ended up at the Family Center for Recovery, and now I have a great career there.
And I don't know how much of your own story you want to tell, so it's whatever you're comfortable with, but what was your addiction?
So I was addicted to opiates. I'll always be an addict. That's something that I have to remember on a daily basis.
That's similar to the same thing we hear about alcoholics, right?
Absolutely.
People will say they say recovering alcoholic, and it could be 30 years since you had your last drink, and you're still a recovering alcoholic. And it's the same thing, I guess, with addicts. Why is that?
It's because any day you can wake up and that craving can hit you. You could have a bad day. Someone in your family could pass away. There's a lot of stressors in the environment that will cause somebody to go back to using. The one thing that we remember is not the pain, not the sorrow, not the broken hearts from everything we did, but it's actually the pleasure that we felt from consuming those drugs.
Mm.
And that thought always stays with an individual that has an addictive personality. But as far as my story, you know, I like to speak upon the fact that I did have a scholarship to college. I was a soccer player, played soccer for many, many years, and I was actually scouted. And it was a big moment in my life, but already by that time, I had started experimenting with drugs. I had a great family.
How old were you at this point?
I started experimenting with drugs around age of 13.
Wow, that is just, wow.
Yep, and, you know, it started with the marijuana and then drinking and, you know, smoking cigarettes here and there,
yeah.
But it was the lifestyle, and it eventually led to worse drugs.
Right.
And that's, unfortunately, the pattern that we see all the time. But with that being said, I have a great family. You know, I had a great upbringing. I played all different sorts of sports. I always excelled in school. And when I got that scholarship to college, my family still thought, oh, well, everything's great. You know, it's going according to plan, per se. And unfortunately, you know, addiction doesn't just ravish impoverished areas. It is a issue for the entire country. Rich people, poor,
it doesn't matter. The color, the background.
It doesn't discriminate.
Right.
Not at all.
At what point did your family start to realize that you got a problem?
The lying, the...
At what age were you, do you think? How long were you able to pull it off without them knowing, I guess, is what I'm...
You know, between ages of 13 and 16, 17, it was more, you know, kind of they wrote it off as growing up and, you know, being a teenager.
Like if they found some marijuana on you or whatever, they just, all kids do it.
Yeah, being a teenager. But they definitely started paying closer attention when I would lie or not respond to them or come home in the middle of the night or stay out all night and not come home. And that's when they really started to raise their eyebrows. And for me, you know, it started with just small things, and it just led to worse and worse things.
Wow. All right. I appreciate you sharing that because, you know, I know that's got to be, it's got to be tough. You know, it's in my family too. You know, I've got a couple of nephews that have a problem. One specifically, and I'm not going to name names, but, he and his wife, their kids are in foster care right now.
Wow.
And, it's just got the whole family down in Broward, you know, all worked up and sad over this because, my sister, who's the mother of one of my nephews, or obviously all of my nephews, she wants the grandchildren more than it seems more than the parents do. And I you know, keep saying it's not that, it's the drugs. And it's very hard to kick.
And what you're saying is a perfect example. I mean, it's not just the individual's disease, it's a family disease. It literally starts at that individual and just rips through the core of a family. And that's really what we try to put together at Family Center for Recovery. Being the director of family services, I see it on a daily basis.
Right. And I find it interesting and I guess smart that you, having been there, having done that, actually are on the staff now. Is that something, is that a planned thing by Dr. Moran?
You know, I like to think that it does help, being that I went through this program specifically and in recovery in general.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, it definitely helps. It helps me do my job. It helps me if a family is really struggling and just doesn't understand, you know, what their loved one is going through or how serious it is.
You could explain it, right? I mean,
I can explain
much
everything
more easily than like I would mm-hmm. be able to.
And, you know, the thing is that when these people call in about their loved ones, they're emotionally distraught. You know, there's so much going on. It's like their whole world is blowing up in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really try to do is try to figure out, you know, where they are emotionally. Can they handle the truth at that time? Do I have to be steady and kind of ease them into it? And I just like to educate them so they could at least start to see the bigger picture and what they need to do moving forward. We have the family weekend program every 2 months, solely for the families to become educated. And when we have those families get educated, the patients are much more successful, and we see that all the time.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk more about that here in one of the segments on this show. Again, we want to kind of reiterate, if you're just joining us, this is a new show. What is this? Just week two, right?
Week two. Yes.
Week two. It is the Family Center for Recovery show. Family Center for Recovery, Hypoluxo Road, and what is it? Seacrest?
And Seacrest, yes.
And Seacrest, that's right near 95 in Lantana. How many years has the Family Center been there?
So we've actually been a company for about 7 years,
yeah.
But we recently changed our name to Family Center for Recovery in the last 2 years or so.
Okay, all right. So been around for quite a while, and say the stat again. Is it the only or one of the only recovery? Give me this because this is just amazing.
Absolutely, Joel. It is the only treatment facility in Florida that is owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist.
In the entire state?
In the entire state.
That is just, wow. All right. Very unbelievable, but obviously, wow. All right. So we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk more about the Family Center for Recovery, and it's right here on WJNO.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
Today's cheat sheet brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank. This is Protecting the Palm Beaches. recognizing those who paid the ultimate price to protect their communities from May 5th. This weekly feature is designed to recognize those who paid the ultimate price serving their communities and to serve as a reminder of what our police risk to keep us safe. We highlight a remarkable effort by local law enforcement each week. Joel Malkin brings you the perspective of local news from leaders in local law enforcement. I bring you the unfortunate news that you need to know. 140 police officers died in the line of duty in 2016. 43 police officers have died in the line of duty thus far in 2017. We've lost one officer in May thus far, and we lost two officers in the line of duty over the past week. Officers died serving in Iowa and Louisiana. The average age of the officers at the time of their death, 42. The average length of time they served at the time of their death, 14 years and 3 months. Two of the officers we have lost this year in the line of duty were serving in Florida. This is the weekly reminder to back the badge and spread the word. The media often is not there for our law enforcement, but we can be. Let our police know that you support them every chance you get. They need it now more than ever, just as we need them now more than ever. For the complete cheat sheet, you can get it at WJNO.com.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery show. I'm Joel Malkin, and again, I am joined by James Santamarina, Admissions Director and Director of Family Services at the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana. Very brave of you before the break telling your story, and we appreciate it. And again, like I said, you know, I didn't expect you to say anything you didn't feel comfortable saying, so I appreciate you sharing.
It's probably one of my favorite things to do nowadays. I find that if you don't share your story, you could be missing one person that could hear your story, and it could really make a difference. And
does it also, as I've heard something similar to in helping perhaps you staying clean?
Yeah.
Is clean a good way to put it? Is sober? What's the, like, is there, I don't want to offend, so I don't know. Is there a certain way? We're in such a politically correct society today.
Yes.
I don't want to tick you off.
There is a lot of different people use different words. In my view, how I use it, and everybody has their own way of using it, being clean is just abstaining from drugs, but really being sober is living a life that is in recovery. You're really sharing your story, you're really reaching out to other people, and you're really doing the next right thing in order to progress your life and hopefully to progress others. But everybody has their own, you know, their own stance on the words that they use, and what works for one person may not work for another. But that's where I stand as far as clean and sober goes.
All right. So sober is probably best.
Yeah, sober. Yeah.
Okay. But they're not fighting words either way, right?
No.
Well, you're a pretty big guy. You're talking about soccer and all that, and you're taller than I am. I'm just under 6'1". I'm guessing you're about 6'3"?
About 6'3", yes.
Yeah. All right. All right. So I don't want no beef, man. Is that what the kids say today? Beef? All right. It's a very serious topic that we're talking about here, and I'm not trying to make light of anything.
Of course.
But I do appreciate you being here and joining us here on the News Radio 1290 WJNO team. Family Center for Recovery in Lantana. I want to talk about the programs that you offer, and the admissions process, if you don't mind getting into a little bit for that. So we're gonna start with the residential program.
Absolutely, Joel. So the residential program is really a stabilization period. being the Family Center for Recovery, we have Joint Commission accreditation, and we also have an ACA license.
What is that, ACA license?
The ACA license allows us to treat primary mental health diagnoses. And what this means is that, you know, a lot of people can come in and maybe they need detox from any substances. But then once we detox them, a lot of times we find that they have underlying mental health issues that are going on. Sometimes
maybe
undiagnosed.
Bipolar
disorder, schizophrenia, borderline personality are just a few of the mental health diagnoses that we effectively treat.
I would think that, maybe I'm wrong, I'm assuming, which can get you in trouble, but that if you are, let's just say bipolar, if you are bipolar, it would be harder to treat someone with a drug problem on top of that than somebody that's otherwise...
You know, I always like to defer to the specialist, Dr. Robert Moran. So
he can answer something like that.
He's better to answer something like that.
Okay.
You know, every case is different. And a lot of times what happens is the bipolar is harder to diagnose because of the drug use. You know, the drug use can blind a psychiatrist from seeing what that
because
mental health
disorder is. Because the drugs make you act a certain way that you might think they're bipolar or whatever.
And that's the great thing about our program is that we can have that residential period to really see them without the drugs and how are they behaving then. And that really allows us to properly diagnose them. And one of the great things about our residential program as well is that Dr. Moran actually sits with the patients Monday through Friday, anywhere between 2 and 4 hours.
Each.
Well,
or a group.
Runs the group in the morning, and we call it community.
Okay.
And, you know, different people have different opinions. A lot of families want their loved one to be interviewed one-on-one. But Dr. Moran will tell you himself that it's not the most effective way to diagnose and interact with a patient because you're not truly seeing who they are. They're very manipulative. I was very manipulative. And it's something that we can't help but to do. So when we're one-on-one with somebody, it may not be effective as in a group. So that's really a neat part of our program that Dr. Moran interacts with the patients on a daily basis. And the patients always have an opportunity to ask him questions, share concerns with him. And it's really just a great, great time of the day, and patients look forward to that.
What is the medical detox program?
So our detox program is designed for those who are withdrawing. We detox mainly from opiates. Other substances may include...
When you say opiates, let's cover what that is. Is that painkillers? Is that oxycodone?
Yeah, so opiates can range anywhere from, you know, your everyday painkillers that the dentist prescribes you or the doctor, to heroin, fentanyl. We see a lot of fentanyl nowadays.
And they're mixing the fentanyl with the heroin now, I understand. And from what I understand, the fentanyl, I forget how many times more powerful, 10 maybe times more powerful than heroin itself, and they're cutting it, the heroin, with the fentanyl. And that's what I'm hearing is leading to this unfortunate high number of overdoses in Palm Beach County and elsewhere.
That is really what is leading to the overdoses. I mean, any heroin use is bad, obviously.
Right.
But when they mix in the fentanyl, these dealers are just mixing it in, you know, to save a couple bucks or to get the consumer higher.
Is heroin still injected, or are they taking it in pill form now?
Heroin is still injected, and typically, you know, your users that go through the worst withdrawals are injecting. However, people can sniff heroin. They can.
I'm sure there's a way that they
can do it orally.
I'm sure. I remember hearing a few years ago about, because I always just thought if you're addicted to painkillers, you're just swallowing the pills. But some people are actually crushing up the oxycodones and snorting them.
Absolutely.
And they're just finding newer and newer ways to get high. And it's just scary.
It really is. It really is.
So the detox, the medical detox, that's if any of those problems. Obviously, there are other drugs that folks come in. What about alcohol? Is this
alcohol is the other major detox drug.
Yeah.
You know, drugs, alcohol, drugs. Same difference.
People don't think of that, though, do they? If somebody goes out and has, several beers per day, It's affecting their life, and they don't realize that they're doing drugs.
Yep, and in today's society, we see a lot of so-called functioning alcoholics. You know, their life hasn't fallen apart enough.
I notice you say so-called, because there are people, I'm a functioning alcoholic, so that's fine.
Yeah.
I get to work, I do my job, but you're still killing yourself slowly and your family.
And the family is affected, and we go back into that whole, you know, how the family is affected. But so we detox the individuals. Once they are medically detoxed and Dr. Moran, you know, approves that the drugs are out of their system, the alcohol is out of their system, we then send them to the residential level of care where they really stabilize and we can really start to see their behavior on a daily basis. We supervise them for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. All the staff is completely trained to share any piece of information with Dr. Moran, whether the patient curses or pushes somebody or whatever it may be. Dr. Moran gets all that information so he can really see what's their thought process like, how are they acting, why are they acting this way. And it really just helps us be an effective program because we see the patient every day.
Would you say that this detox program is the hardest part for the patient of the whole program?
I would say physically, detoxing is the hardest part. Dr. Moran does, you know, we do have medications that we use to assist with detox. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Dr. Moran assesses on a daily basis with each individual. But as far as physically, yes. Mentally, it's difficult as well. But I'm a firm believer that the long-term recovery is the hardest part mentally. And what I mean by that is once you get through the detox, the residential, you do the partial hospitalization, which is sort of an in-between of outpatient and residential, and just the in-between stage where you start to experience a few more stressors, then you get to the outpatient, the intensive outpatient. And what happens there is that a lot of times people float on the pink cloud, we call it, and they just start to feel better. And
what do you mean by pink cloud? So they're in a like a euphoric state because they feel like they're, hey, I'm great now. I'm cured.
Yeah, it's like I've gotten through the inpatient. You know, I'm free now. I can go look for work. I'm living more on my own. And they start to just feel like, okay, like I got this again.
So they think that they're farther along than they really are.
Absolutely.
It's a longer. Yeah, they've won a couple of battles, but they haven't won the war yet.
Exactly. And the greatest thing, one of the greatest pieces of our program is that we offer transitional services. And what this means is it's literally transitional living, but it's not like a normal halfway house that you see in Florida. It's actually a staffed area that patients live.
Let me paint a picture of for those who maybe because I like I said this is in my family. A halfway house. When people think of a halfway house that are familiar with them typically, and correct me where I'm wrong or fill in the blanks. There's an apartment complex and they're pretty much just rented out to addicts and you'll have five or six living in one. And oftentimes, and I could be wrong, there's not a lot of supervision. You know, there might be somebody that runs the home, but they're not watching constantly or not as closely.
You're absolutely correct, Joel.
Okay.
It's typically run by another patient and, you know, kudos to the patient that has enough time clean to be able to run those halfway houses. And it's no bump against them. You know, this isn't an attack on them. The fact is, though, we still believe that we need more eyes at that level of care because it's when you start to live again, you start to experience normal day stressors that you or I would experience right now, getting mad at your boss or going
that
to work.
That happens all the time for me, by the way. Just kidding.
Exactly. You know, it's so it's really that time where they have more freedom. They see the triggers. You know, maybe they'll run into their dealer or they'll run into a friend that they used with.
Or an ex-boyfriend, girlfriend that, you know, maybe used with or upset them where the last time they started using, that was their trigger.
Exactly. And we really want to focus on independence with these patients.
So what is the difference? So what do you guys do with your transitional services? I'm going to start over because I interrupted you.
So the real key of our transitional services, our transitional living, is that we have a staff. That staff, say, I'll give you an example, Joel. We have one patient that comes, let's say we have a patient that goes to clinical, goes to groups one day a week. But those other 6 days a week, what are they doing? They're working, they're paying the rent, they're going to meetings, whether NAMI or AANA. And then, but what are they doing with their free time? We want to know, because that really can tell us where they are in their recovery. In their free time, are they sleeping all day? Are they watching TV all day?
How do you know?
Because we have the staff.
So they're in these are residential facilities that you guys provide.
They're houses, and we own. I couldn't tell you the exact number off my top of my head, but we own the entire property, and there's a bunch of houses on the property, and it's just like apartment living. They have a full size living room, full size kitchen, and then there's two bedrooms, and then a full bathroom.
So you have, what, two residents living at the same one?
At least two, up to four.
Okay. But where is this on the same, is this on the campus or is this somewhere else?
It's very close.
Okay.
A mile or two away.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We can talk a little bit more about this in a little bit. We're going to take a break and come back. But we also want to talk about getting the families involved. You are, one of your titles, Director of Family Services. So your forte, a lot of this is your forte, but we're going to come back and talk more about the Family Center for Recovery on the Family Center for Recovery show.
The Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran, and he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery, before little problems become big problems.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5454. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. With fresh flowers, guaranteed delivery, and unique vases and accessories that mom will love, Pro Flowers has everything you need to get your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms you know. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date and it's guaranteed or your money back. 100 colorful blooms sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days, starting at $19.99. And we'll include a free glass vase. Hurry, Mother's Day is next week and this incredible special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 5454. That's proflowers.com, secret code 5454.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery, before little problems become big problems.
Today's cheat sheet brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank. It's not your imagination. You really are spending a lot more time in traffic in South Florida this year. We take a look at our metro in traffic. Holy cow. We see that the average commute time, now about 27 minutes out of the Miami metro, of which we're a part of, and overall traffic congestion grew by 15 minutes year over year. 15 minutes year over year. It's 15 minutes more per day, the average round trip driving that you're doing, being stuck in traffic. Now, obviously, the closer you are to downtown Miami, probably the worse you are, even though we're part of the metro, probably not quite as bad here, but you get the idea. We do have more people, and we do have more congestion, and we are having more traffic. For the complete cheat sheet, you can get it at WJNO.com. FamilyCenterForRecovery.com.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery show on News Radio 1290 WJNO. And we are sitting here and hanging out and just having basically a chat session. James Santamarina, the admissions director and director of family services at the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana. And you're doing a great job. This is your first radio, first foray into radio?
First radio show.
You wouldn't know it.
You're very helpful.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. So we have been talking all about the Family Center for Recovery. We just wrapped up talking about the different programs, and including what sounds like a great transitional service. Another thing that and you can talk about this because, again, you are a recovering addict, right? Is addict an okay word?
Yes.
Again, the political correct thing, you know. So you could speak to a lot of this stuff, and I think that's great that they have you on the staff because, like you said earlier today on this show, that you know, that helps you talk to the clients or the families that you're helping. But families are a big role. And you mentioned earlier that I think at the beginning when you were talking about your story that you were given a choice when it was – when your family realized that, wow, this is out of control, right? And they said, you're either going to be homeless or you're going to go for treatment. And that's how you ended up at the Family Center for Recovery. So family weekend programs, something that you guys do, and I guess that's very important.
Yes, Joel. And you brought up, you know, what I had spoken about regarding my story, and my family did give me that ultimatum, but that wasn't the ultimatum in the beginning of the journey. They didn't realize how serious it was. It wasn't until they really became educated that they had to, which some people call tough love, we like to call healthy love. And they showed me healthy love and saying, you're going to have two choices. Instead of us being your safety net, you can go to treatment or you can live on the street. And they meant it. And that really propelled me to get the help that I needed because yeah. I didn't want to be homeless. And I was going to make a conscious decision at that point whether I was going to be homeless or go to treatment. So the families play a very, very important role. And I'd love to talk about our family weekend program that we offer at the Family Center for Recovery.
And before we get into all of that, I was just wondering the dichotomy of this because you do have families like yours that that did that, as you call it, healthy love, what some people call tough love. And I would think that early, especially early on, but maybe even later, depending on the person, there would still be this animosity on behalf of the patient towards the family. And so here you're having families come to visit. How often would you say that that happens where the patient's like, I don't want to see them?
It happens quite often, Joel. And, you know, it's sad to see. But we know deep down that it is the appropriate thing to do to get the patient well. Every decision that we make is about the patient's well-being, not how they view us or how they feel about us, because that's much different.
Right.
We want to get them well, and we'll do whatever it takes. Something we tell the families right in the beginning is that you may not like some of the things that we say for you to do. You may not like our suggestions. You may not like how often we'll allow you to speak to your loved one. But the fact remains that everything that we implement has a therapeutic value behind it. And that's really part of my job, is to get the family to understand that in the beginning.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. You know, a lot of programs, but ours especially, we have this blackout period, 7 to 10 days. And it's so...
So a blackout, patient, what is that?
So the blackout period means that when the patient comes to our facility, the family may not speak to the patient for about 7 to 10 days, but there's
wow.
a real value behind it. And that's really getting the patient to go to the staff, to Dr. Moran, to the therapist with their problems, instead of holding them in and letting them loose when they talk to the family. Because the patient is hardwired, just like I was hardwired, to let my family have all of my issues and make it their problem rather than taking care of it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we firmly believe in. And my goal is to get the families to really understand that coming in, so they can have an appreciation for it and not be really anxious when they, you know, don't speak to their loved one for those first few days.
And I could see families sometimes giving a little pushback on that up front.
Of course.
Not understanding it. And
We do get pushback.
You have to be very caring in the way that you explain how it works.
And it works out perfectly because, you know, I've done it to my family and I've experienced it now for the last 2 years being the director of family services. I know how to, you know, ease a family into it, or if a family needs a little push, I can be a little, you know, I can give them that little push to understand.
Yeah.
Some families are weak and it's not their fault.
And they've been through a lot too, because we talk about this is not just a problem for the patient. They're not the only ones that need help.
It's exactly.
The families.
And the ultimate goal is to really get them educated. And that is really why we have the family weekend program every 2 months.
So it happened every 2 months. And is it every 2 months? Like, I don't know the number of patients that you have at any given time. Let's say 20, just off the top of my head. Would it be the same exact time for all 20?
Yeah, so the way it works is that regardless of the number of patients, and we typically have, I won't even talk about the number of patients. Regardless of the number of patients, we invite every single patient's family to the family weekend. And typically we see at least half of them come. We just had our most recent event about 2 weeks ago, and we had over 80 family members there, over 36 different families that flew in from all across the United States to get educated, to learn about their loved one's illness, to meet the staff, to interact with their loved one in a healthy way. And it was just really a great, great event. And this is the most important thing that we see. And listen to me when I say this. When we have the families on board with us and the family is aligned with what we want them to do and what we expect the patient to do, the patients at Family Center for Recovery are almost always successful. The family means everything. Some families, you know, are very distant and, you know, it creates a different situation. But when we have families that are used to taking care of the loved one and are really involved, we need them on our side to be successful. And that's really what the Family Weekend's about. And those families who come to our side and get the education are very, very thankful that they did.
What is there a maximum in the amount of people in the family that can come?
There's no maximum. We encourage every member of the family. Sometimes, you know, things could get a little heated. We really use a lot of raw emotion throughout the weekend. So as far as younger siblings or children, we may want them to only come to certain parts of the family weekend.
Limit that, but I could imagine that, you know, like, okay, I have a daughter. She's not an addict. She, you know, thank goodness, she really is a great kid. She's 24, but she's still my kid. And then I have a 4-year-old daughter. And I could just imagine that if my older daughter was in a program like this, she would want to see my 4-year-old. So you don't keep them from seeing, even if it's a child, but just certain parts of that weekend.
Exactly.
Limited.
Everything is really controlled, though, you know, because any single thing, you know, in the case if your daughter was going through that and she sees her 4-year-old sister, it could trigger her emotionally or whatever it may be, and something could happen that wouldn't be therapeutic.
Yeah.
But what we do is we encourage families to write letters and be involved, and we find moments to implement the families into the loved one's recovery, mm-hmm. into the patient's recovery, to really be successful. I always describe it as this, you know. if I had never gone to treatment, I would never have the relationship that I have with my family today. Even before I started using drugs, it was my family. I automatically loved them because they were my family.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know what that love meant. Yes, I was young, but through this whole journey, the education that my family got through Family Center for Recovery and Dr. Moran and his treatment team, it has changed my life and my family's life forever. My father to this day says that he learned things about his life at these family programs that he implements on a daily basis.
Wow.
Whether it's about the way that he views things or speaks to people judges others. You know, a lot of us don't realize it, but we may judge people for going through some of these things. But the fact is that mental health and addiction, and really addiction is a mental health issue, is a serious, serious issue. And it doesn't make a person a bad person. It doesn't make somebody less than. It just means that they have an issue and we need to help them take care of it. I always say this. Everybody in the world has some sort of issue, and everybody can ask themselves now, what sort of issues do I have? Maybe it's an anger issue. Maybe it's an emotional issue. Maybe it's a physical issue. Whatever it may be, everybody has issues, and we just really want to be able to help those that have these mental health and addiction issues because we feel that there's not enough good treatment options for them here in Florida, especially, and across the states.
And especially when you talk about that, Dr. Robert Moran, an addiction psychiatrist.
He's a triple board certified neuropsychiatrist, and he is an addiction psychiatrist. And
the only Family Center for Recovery, one in the state.
Only one in the state owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist. It still blows my mind every time I say it.
What would you say to a family member, we talk about the animosity, and you mentioned that there are families that just don't come to a family that says to you on the phone when you invite them, he doesn't want me here, she doesn't want me here, I'm not going, I'm done with them, because I can imagine that happens. What is it you could say to maybe, all you can do is your best to turn them around because of the importance of them being there?
You're saying the family is refusing to participate?
Refusing to participate.
Unfortunately,
it
happens.
There's too much hurt there.
It does happen. Everybody has their reasons for not wanting to participate. Some families have been to other family weekends that they think, okay, this is going to be the same thing. But every family that ends up coming will tell you that it is completely different and it forever has changed their lives. But in a case like that, I really will push them. At the end of the day, I'm not worried about how people view me. I'm going to do whatever it takes to try to get the message across in any capacity necessary. So I would really tell a family that, was iffy about participating that, listen, just do it this last time because I know how unique this program is. And really just give it a chance. And I promise that you will see why it was so important for you to come. It's kind of ironic because we fight and fight to try to get these families to come, and some families come willingly, some have financial struggles, which is understandable. But every single family member that we've had come to a family weekend, at the end of it, they talk about how grateful they are that they came, how blessed they are to have found this program, and that is something that keeps me coming to work every day because that reward and them getting educated and starting to really understand the illness is why I do what I do.
I just met you today, but I can tell maybe because of where you come from, but, and I don't mean New York, but although that might help too. You do this, you're not doing this for a paycheck. So, you do this for the patient. All right. And for the families, because, families are very important as we just, heard. All right. We're going to come back with the wrap up. It is the Family Center for Recovery show.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook to learn more about their mental health service and Addiction Resources Center. Located in Lantana, Florida, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call anytime, 855-202-4220. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery show, Joel Malkin, and it's been my pleasure to jump in here on a moment's notice and lead this show today. And we're again joined by James Santamarina, the admissions director and director of family services at the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana. And just have a couple of minutes. Just wanted to bring up Dr. Robert Moran. He's the medical director and CEO that he runs the ship, so to speak. And his mission, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients others can't. And you talk about teens, expectant moms. That's got to be real tough. Depression, PTSD. Tell us more about that if you can.
So the whole slogan, we treat patients, most centers can't, it really comes from the fact that we tend to get a lot of patients that have been through a lot of other facilities. Mm. Now, we do treat unique things, but when those patients come from these other facilities, we tend to be able to get them well, and it's a really great thing. Teens, expecting mothers, those are really kind of unique categories. You don't find a lot of facilities that have the ability to treat those.
Right.
And when it comes to depression, we actually have implemented a new program called transcranial magnetic stimulation, otherwise known as TMS. And it really allows us to treat people who have major depressive disorder and who haven't responded to antidepressants. So that's a really a nice additional kind of thing. So we're always kind of fitting those niches that other facilities may not be able to treat. But at the end of the day, our specialty is really getting patients that either are dual diagnoses and, you know, have addiction and mental health, and really finding out what the leading cause of their illness is and being able to treat that, because we have a psychiatrist that truly understands both addiction and mental health, and he is involved in those patients' treatments every single day, and that's what really makes us work.
Wow. All right. James Santamarina with the Family Center for Recovery. Again, you guys in Lantana, Hypoluxo, and what, Seacrest?
Yes, Hypoluxo, corner of Hypoluxo and Seacrest. Lantana, Florida. I'd like all the listeners to know that if they'd like to get a hold of us at the Family Center for Recovery, they can call 561-296-5288, extension 241, and that will go right to me. I'd love to answer any questions that anybody may have, even if you're just a family member listening and have questions about someone in your family or someone that you know that's suffering from this horrible disease. Please give me a call, and I'd love to be able to speak with you.
All right. It is the Family Center for Recovery show. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook.com/Family Center for Recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. We'll be right back.
Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery, before little problems become big problems.
The thoughts and opinions expressed are those of the sponsors and don't necessarily reflect the